With all that is happening in politics today, some Christians say, vote Jesus 2024. Stop saying that. Is that really the best we can do? Is that what God calls us to do?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. We've got podcasts coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. So go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like this video. Comment down below. If you've got any thoughts, we'd love to hear them for this little controversial one today. It's good.
Exactly. Yeah, so we're going to go a little Christian countercultural today, and maybe, I don't know, we're going to look at what a lot of Christians say. This time of the year, we're very near the election 2024, and a lot's happening, and there's some Christians who have come to the conclusion they're just going to vote Jesus 2024.
Amen.
And, you know, there's something on the surface that says, man, that is really awesome.
That is clever.
That's cool. I get it. You know, you're frustrated with the system. Yeah. You're frustrated with the way things are. You're kind of skeptical about what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be thinking, it doesn't matter anyway. You're kind of done with all the hype. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. And I get the reason some people conclude, well, just vote Jesus 2024. I mean, you see the shirts.
Yeah, I was going to say, give me that yard sign. There you go. It's great. But they say, man, that right there, if Jesus was just in office, if Jesus like ruled from his throne or something like that, that would be awesome.
If only.
If only we could get him in there. If only we could talk him into leading our country or something like that. If you can't tell. There's a little bit of sarcasm going on here. But yeah, Jesus 2024 sounds really nice.
Yes.
Sounds really good.
Yeah.
But in reality, the sign is not saying much.
It's true.
He doesn't need a political campaign run for him or yard signs. I get it as to be like, hey, look, we're Christians in this household. Hey, look, we do trust Jesus to be the leader of our country. That's great. And that's an awesome way to have the sign. But go ahead.
I was going to say, it kind of sends another message though of like,
I'm
not voting for either party. I'm just going to vote for Jesus 2024.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the take I get usually when I read it. Because it looks
kind of what they're saying.
It is. Like, third option. Here's the better option. Here's the more reality. I'm not going for either party, but I am doing this.
Yeah, and all you losers are going to spend your time thinking about the earth, and I'm thinking about God here.
Right.
It's kind of the tone that comes off.
It does. It's like, okay, let's follow this path down a little bit.
Yeah,
let's just see what happens. Okay, so you're going to vote Jesus 2024. I mean, okay, so there's a spot, I guess, for a write-in candidate.
Yeah, exactly.
So you go to the polls.
Yeah.
You know, and you're about to make a choice for leader of the free world.
The old JC.
And you're going to... You're going to skip over every other option that's in front of us, and you're going to write in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What's the point here? Where are we going? What happens with
if
that?
If you win, what happens?
Yeah.
If you convince 51% of people to say, yep, I'm writing that name in.
Yeah. Well, you start a campaign, a whole national campaign, you shirts and commercials on
yard
TV.
Signs.
Yard signs.
People have them.
Yard signs.
Yeah.
And then what happens? I don't know. That's what I...
Yeah.
He wins. Let's say he wins.
That's
he wins
great.
In the election.
Amen.
And both the others
now
make their concession
he can sit on the throne.
They make their concession speeches and...
Yeah.
Okay, who's moving into the White House?
Exactly.
What's happening
here? What's
going
on now?
Yeah.
Who's his cabinet? Holy Spirit fills all of them? I'll take that. That's good. It would be awesome. But the reality is... We have to have someone to lead our nation.
It's true.
Today. Like, we have to have someone who's going to sit in the White House, someone that is going to lead our nation, make decisions, who's going to follow the Constitution, who's going to lead our military, who's going to protect our nation, who's going to help out with whatever foreign governments we have to deal with and all this stuff.
Sure.
That is the actual person who sits in the seat of president over the nation.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You know, on the switch over to the church realm for just a moment. Who's the head of the church?
Yeah.
Jesus is.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So do you all just show up when you go to church?
Yeah.
Everybody just sits there and
we just
looks and waits? Yeah. No, because God has appointed pastors and leaders to lead in the church.
Exactly.
Is Jesus the head? Of course he is.
Of course he
but
is.
He has given that responsibility in the church to certain people to lead.
Yes, so, exactly. So the same is true in the nation's sake.
Yeah, yeah. And are those pastors ever perfect?
Yeah, no.
No? No, we look for people who are mature and
there's
skilled.
A whole list. You go to 1 Timothy.
Yeah, it's all there of what to look for. But the same is true for governmental positions.
Exactly.
It's not the church, but it is similar in that there still must be people on earth who fill those roles.
And the other thing is like eternity is not a democracy. It is not. It is not a matter of like, can we rally enough people around to agree that Jesus is king for us to recognize Jesus as king?
For him to be able to
reign and rule.
Reign in his kingship.
Uphold promises, you know, and to like exact justice and to like stand with, you know, truth and grace, you know, like it does not require democracy for that to happen.
Yeah.
He already is that, you know, Jesus is already sitting on the throne. He is already reigning victoriously, you know.
He has a kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. He's already the King of Kings, you know, as like some of the titles actually say that he is, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and he is building a kingdom.
Yes.
There is his kingdom is here on earth.
Yes. Yeah. He's already king over all creation, and voting him in will not make him any more king. You know, yes, we should recognize him as the king, but that does not mean, all right, therefore I'm out on this whole earthly government thing. You know?
Yeah. Hey, do you think some of it is this idea that, well, I just can't find the candidate that's perfect enough?
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing I've heard the most. You hear, well, Donald Trump is just not a perfect man. I just can't vote for him.
Yeah.
Okay, come on.
Or they have the reasons not to vote for Kamala.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
But I'm saying like, okay, so why have you ever voted ever in life at all for anything? If, you know, you in relating to anyone, you know, it's like, you're never going to find the perfect person ever. And so to say like, oh, well, because this candidate's not perfect, I just can't vote for him. Yeah, I get it. You can say every reason why you don't want to and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If you have all these reasons, but at the end of the day, like, someone is going to be elected president. Someone is going to be over the nation. And so my question to Christians, especially like to the, I'm just going to vote for Jesus 2024 kind of person is like, that doesn't really even make any sense, because now you're just like standing out of the election. And when has Christians removing themselves from any aspect of any part of life ever been like beneficial?
Right.
You know, because anytime Christians leave, someone else comes and fills the void.
Exactly.
And so it's like, we as Christians should be the ones that step up the most and have the loudest voice for, hey, this is how God wants us to live. This is how God wants us to function in government. This is how God expects us to relate to one another, you know?
And I just wonder, not that it should drive how we behave, but I just wonder from the outside, what does it look like, you know, when someone says, oh, I'm going to vote Jesus 2024. What does it look like to the outsider?
To the outsider.
You know?
Yeah, to the non-believer, you're saying?
To the non-believer, whoever. I mean, I guess you could probably scan the audience out there. Like, what?
Yeah.
What's the impression? What does that mean to them? Does that look?
Yeah.
Does that just sound spiritual with no reality to it, or what? I wonder what that does that look?
Yeah. Comment down below. What do you think
exactly?
It means,
does it look ignorant? Does it look disconnected, jaded? I don't know. Is that the ultimate black pill moment?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I was like, well, it doesn't matter what I do. You know,
it's exactly.
All controlled anyway. I'm just going to vote Jesus 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. There should be a place that we as followers of Jesus are integrated into the culture, involved in. We're not of the world, but we are part of the world. We are not dominated by the world system, but we are seeking to bring the kingdom to bear on earth.
Exactly.
And that requires our participation in our involvement and our integration in the culture.
Yeah, and you know, I think, again, it goes back to the people who are like, I'm voting Jesus 2024 because he... You know, he, whatever, all the reasons and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And I could never vote for that person because they are too rude, or they don't know enough, or they whatever, all this kind of stuff.
It's right.
Like, again, what you're voting for here in 2024 at the presidential election is not for someone to teach you the Bible every week. You're not voting for a pastor. You're not voting for a priest. You're not voting for like a grandfather. You're not voting for a babysitter. You're not voting for, you know, like your best friend or something like that. You're voting for someone who's going to lead the country. You know, you're not looking for like, now who's the nicest person that would just give me everything that I want?
Right.
You know, like, is that true? That's not who we're electing here, but you're voting for someone who is going to actually lead the country. You know, again, goes back to like, yes, Jesus is sovereign over everything.
Yes.
He's the one that raises up and takes down kings and kingdoms. Exactly. You know, we don't have to elect him to do that stuff.
No.
We don't have to say we're voting Jesus to do that.
No.
Because he doesn't require a vote.
Right.
He already is and will do that if you vote for him or if you don't.
You know? Yeah. And it's in the awareness of that that actually kind of helps you know which way to vote.
Yeah, exactly.
If I know Jesus is on the throne and he is building his kingdom here on earth and I'm an active participant in it, well, all of a sudden now I've got the drive, I got the motivation. I should have some insight as to actually how I should vote. If I know and I believe and I walk in that sovereignty match with responsibility, which is a whole other conversation, but a fascinating one.
Yeah.
Is sovereignty and responsibility. They both go in hand, hand in hand. There's this element that yes, God is sovereign over all things. He controls all things. He raises up kings, puts down kings. But at the same time, he's called us to be responsible. Both of those must be held in not 50-50 tension, but 100% belief and confidence.
Well, it's like, just to continue on the whole idea of sovereignty and responsibility, you know, like you're saying, God's going to do what he's going to do in this life, like here now.
Right.
But we are 100% responsible to put in the work for the kingdom to come to bear here on this earth. You know, I've heard a quote that's like, it's interesting, sounds kind of weird, but he says, pray like it's entirely up to God, but do like it's entirely up to you.
That's the whole mix, I think, of sovereignty and responsibility.
Yeah.
Both together at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm 100 on both of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the two other big words, like predestination and free will. It's like, yeah, he is sovereign. And the word predestined, you can't deny that. It's in the scriptures a lot, you know? You can't deny his sovereignty. You can't deny he's over everything. But you also see, like, people having choices to make, and then they have to make them. You know, they have to go forward with them. And that is the responsibility that we have.
Yeah.
We have the choice to lean in or lean out of a situation, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and you can't pull away from either one of those. You shouldn't pull away from the full confidence that God is sovereign over all.
Yeah.
But you also shouldn't pull away from full responsibility over it all as well. Yeah. And you know, you look throughout the scriptures and you find that that is exactly what happened. You find powerful men and women of faith who believed in God's sovereignty and they believed in the responsibility they had as well. And they pursued God as a result of that, and they interacted with their governments. They didn't hide away. They didn't create, you know, island versions of Christianity. Yeah. They were in the midst of the culture, and they often interacted with kings and rulers and governmental authorities that were ungodly.
Yeah,
and they weren't afraid of them. They stood for their convictions, and they moved sometimes in opposition to them. Sometimes in coordination with them, sometimes in influence of them. You find early in the scripture, the Hebrew midwives, they are actively disobeying worldly governments and going against the law because they believed in a law greater that was God's, that we're not going to take a life. And so they saw that babies were born instead of taking the life of baby boys. You see Moses interacting with government officials saying, "Let my people go." You find Joseph in the Old Testament who actually moves into places of government control and power, godless government powers. But he, because he is faithful, God moves him up, elevates him, puts him in positions within the governmental realm. The same happens for Daniel. And multiple leaders who step in, they continue to keep him as a man of power. You find that with Nehemiah, who is God's man and a leader of governmental positions, Esther, Mordecai. Then you find plenty of other prophets who spoke and influenced governmental authorities, who either spoke to or against, mm-hmm. stood up in faith against Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You find also Isaiah, Elijah, Jonah, Jeremiah, Obadiah, Nahum, all interacting with governmental authorities in their day. And not all governmental authorities who agreed with them.
Yeah, exactly.
You find John the Baptist doing this. You find Peter and John doing this, especially in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul and Jesus himself dealing with governmental authorities.
Exactly.
He didn't pull away, even when they were powerful, even when Jesus knew they were going to temporarily win the day against him. They didn't pull away. When they were alone, when they were isolated, when they were small in number, they still stood in belief that God was sovereign and that they are responsible.
Yeah. Whew. Again, it's like the huge theme of God's people interacting with government is like you can't get around it. You can't just say, this whole politics thing's just kind of crazy. I'm just out on all this.
They're all wicked and they're too big and they're not going to listen.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of angry people yelling at each other on ideas. Nothing ever gets done, all this kind of stuff. Like,
I see you took the black pill.
Yeah, exactly. But like, God's people always should and do relate to the government, because the government is all about the organizing and the ordering of the people of a nation.
Yes.
So why would God's people remove themselves from the organizing and the ordering of people in a nation? The laws, the morality, the religion, like all the stuff. Like, why would God be like, you better not actually get involved with those who are in authority, you know, because it can get a little corrupt in there.
Yeah.
No, it should be Christians who are the ones to step up. That's literally what we see displayed all throughout the whole Bible. You know, it's like all about God's people and the nations, God's people and governments, you know, all those examples. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always going to be that tension that's there, and we should continue to press into that.
Yeah, exactly. And as citizens of the United States, especially, our Constitution is written where, as citizens, we actually take part in the decision-making process.
Like a democracy.
Yeah, exactly. Which means you are actually part of the decision-making, ruling class.
Yeah.
Because you have participation and a part you play. Wayne Grudem has a book called Politics According to the Bible, and in it there's this powerful statement he makes. He says, "To be able to vote is to have a share in the ruling power. Therefore, all citizens who are old enough to vote have a responsibility before God to know what God expects of civil government and what kind of moral and legal standards he wants governments to follow." So simple, the responsibility is on us. You can't just keep pointing at a group and saying they're the problem when you're the one who has the opportunity to make a difference in who sits in those chairs. Yeah.
And like, if you see, man, this just so corrupt, well, guess what? It needs truth there. It needs the light.
Yep.
Guess who is the light? Guess who is the truth? That is Christians, you know?
Exactly.
And so again, it goes to the point of like, when have Christians ever left an environment and things got better? Mm-hmm. You know, like if all Christians just stopped voting, you're telling me, oh yeah, the nation's going to get all of a sudden more godly and all of a sudden people are going to fear God more. No.
Right.
When all Christians do step up and share their voice and share on God's behalf, hey, this is what the scriptures say. This is the moral standard we ought to live by. This is the, you know, the way we ought to relate to God.
Yeah.
Then the nation changes by way of the confidence in the church.
Yeah. And if you're feeling all alone wherever you are, then it's a good sign. You probably need to be a part of a church that's speaking the truth and is encouraging you and building up in your faith and moving and having conversations together so that you don't feel like you are alone, that you're all of a sudden part of something bigger. You're actually part of the the reigning place of Jesus on earth, the church and the kingdom, or all of a sudden you start to see, okay, this is what it looks like where Jesus reigns, and let's spread this.
So good.
And you're a part of it, and you begin to impact the world around you so that the kingdoms of this world ultimately do become the kingdoms of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ.
Woo, that is what we as Christians should do. We should be active. We should be participating in the government, because again, it is the ordering and the organizing of people, and Christians ought to have their voice in that matter. We ought to be the ones to step up and you know, run for office and to speak into the lives of people who are running for office. Yes. And all this kind of stuff. You know, like Christians ought to be the influence.
Yeah, and the supporters of those that are in office.
Yes,
who are
exactly
following and pursuing peace.
Yes,
godliness in our land.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So there's our kind of rant on Vote Jesus 2024. But
exactly,
I guess it's possible to consider, okay, maybe we should look at it from the positive side.
Yeah. Yeah. For those saying vote Jesus.
Yeah. For those who are saying vote Jesus 2024, let's assume the best. What would that,
yeah,
that looks like?
Well, I'm hopeful that the people who say, I'm voting for Jesus. Well, first of all, I hope it's a joke because they're like, oh, these candidates aren't really perfect, but I'm just voting for Jesus. But then it's like, okay, yeah, but really who? Honestly, that's what it is. You know, so it's like, oh, I'm still going to vote. I just want everyone to know that Jesus, you know, he's the only one that can actually bring truth and peace to a nation and all this stuff. It's like, 100%. We are on board with you in that regard.
Yeah.
You don't have to vote Jesus in office for that because he can and does do that already to people who surrender their lives to him.
Yeah. Yeah. If that's the case, and you should wear a shirt or have a sign yard that says vote Jesus 2024, but under it, but I'm actually voting for.
Yeah, just, but I'm actually going to vote for fill in the blank.
Just say it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to be afraid. Because that's the other thing. I think some people are afraid to associate with whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think so on the positive side, I think people are saying, I'm going to live my life so others see Jesus as King and Lord of my life. You know, I'm a Christian first. Then that's my identity, not my political party being my identity, but my faith in Christ is who I am.
Right.
And because of that, that's how I vote and all this.
Exactly.
That's great. That's a positive,
good
take on it, you know, or again, on the positive, like I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to vote with the conscience of the Bible and Jesus on my mind.
Yep.
And that's what I'm doing moving forward. That's what I hope people mean.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to it. You convince everyone, I'm going to write down Jesus Christ, turn in the ballot. Woo! Get your I voted sticker, put it on. Guess what? Yeah. Voted for Jesus. And it's like, well, even if you convinced everyone, what does that mean?
Yeah. And I don't want to really hear you complain later after the election.
Ouch.
You had your chance and you voted and you didn't.
Yep. But you won, I guess, because he's still king.
Maybe.
So there you go.
Yeah.
He's still king.
Is that really what he would want you to do if he's king?
That's a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So if you're going to say vote Jesus 2024, then live like he's already king. Just live that way.
Exactly.
And
you don't have to vote him in.
Exactly. He's already there. Election's over. He won by landslide.
Yep.
It wasn't because anyone cheated.
Yeah,
it was a full heaven put him there and nothing can remove him.
Yeah.
So live with that awareness. Jesus is king. And Jesus has called me, therefore, as part of his kingdom and those in his kingdom to live out and bring the kingdom to bear here on earth.
But,
and I get it. Odds are against us? Yes. Outnumbered? Yes. Difficult? Yes. It's dark out there? Yes. But you have been placed in this world at this time for a purpose to be the salt, the light, the hope, the gospel taker, the disciple maker, the world changer.
Yeah.
And that's our responsibility. Anything less is disobeying your king who has been put into office already.
Yeah. You could say that Jesus weaponized the Department of Justice, killed his opponent.
Wow.
Put him to death.
Wow.
And won.
True.
The Department of Jesus, I guess you could say.
I like it.
There you go.
All right. So
good stuff.
Go vote.
Yeah.
Jesus is already on the throne.
Come on.
Go vote. Lift him up. Live him out.